Turn in your sacred writings of God's holy word to the epistle to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. The epistle to the Philippians. Paul the apostle was imprisoned at Rome, and he wrote to this church, this beloved church, this great church, this strong church in Christ Jesus, and gave them some admonishments that I want us to consider for this morning. I begin reading in verse 1. As we look over these verses, I want us to understand that there are at least 9 of them that are comprised as a unit of information to help us with our spiritual stability. Our spiritual stability. These 9 verses provide us a biblical or several biblical principles for spiritual stability. We tend to pursue stability in places where stability just simply doesn't reside, places where it doesn't live. Our strength and our stability is found in the Lord. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. There are several things that I want us to consider from these 9 verses. That's often scary. Would I have several points that I'd like to make? If I make 1 or 2, I'll be doing really good this morning. I don't plan to keep you very long. But there are several warnings in the Scriptures about instability. The Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, warned us about those that would try to beguile unstable souls. We still have people today trying to beguile unstable souls. This is a warning given in Scripture on many places, on many fronts, and so it's a very important subject for us to consider today. Stability begins with our commitment. I don't know if you made any New Year's resolutions or not. I had made one not to make any mistakes this first week of the year, and I made one during the preliminaries. Ange made one and failing to bring the checkbook. I mean, you know, we many times make resolutions that we're going to do better. You know, we're going to not make as many mistakes. We're going to gain more money. We're going to have more fun. We're often making these silly resolutions. But when we are making a resolution to commit ourselves to the Lord, we are provided special help. We get grace, right? I mean, when we commit ourselves to the Lord, when we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, we get the grace of God to fulfill those. God will help you if you'll commit yourself in a greater way to the Lord. I believe that. I really believe that. And there are many encouragements in the Word of God for us to do exactly that. We are constantly admonished and encouraged in the word of the Lord to make a greater commitment toward Christ, to do better in His kingdom. Let's begin at verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. My dearly beloved, so stand fast in the Lord. I want you to circle that, at least in your mind if you don't have a pen, to stand fast, be firm, and consecrated in the Lord. Now, like I said, the next 8 verses give us some sound principles on how to do that. This is the main subject of these 9 verses. Standing firm in the Lord. So stand firm in the Lord. This is the way you stand firm in the Lord. And He gives us a lot of good information. Now, can you imagine this epistle being read in church on a Sunday morning? And suddenly the Apostle Paul singles out 2 women in church, which he does in the next 2 verses, who have a personal conflict that are causing chaos and confusion and division at the church of Philippi. Can you imagine that going on? I mean, I'm sure these two ladies were just sitting there. They were listening. And these are strong, prominent women at the church at Philippi. They may have been one or two of those women, or at least one of them, may have been those women by that river that Paul began preaching to when Lydia's heart was open. They may have been founding members. They may have been charter members of the church. Very prominent women. I'm sure they were listening, and they had helped in a great way in advancing the cause of Christ in this city. And I can imagine them just sitting there and, yes, Paul, you know, that's great. Do this. And that, yeah, that's wonderful information for the church. And then the Apostle Paul singles them out. Now, I believe as we examine these next two verses, there's something that comes into play when we talk about our spiritual stability. When we talk about our personal stability. And that is that how we are stable as a unit affects us individually. Our stability as a church affects people individually. It's important for us to be united. It's important for us to deal with issues between us, right? We're instructed in the Word of God to do that. Jesus instructed us to do that. He was concerned about that, and that's very important in church. I know it's not important to a lot of people today, but it's important to the church of Jesus Christ. The church that is the pillar and the ground of the truth has to be harmonious. It has to be unified. It has to be of one mind and one accord. This is critical for us in reaching the world and maintaining stability in our individual lives. There's a lot of Christian chaos and Christian confusion in churches because of controversy. Controversy will damage your children, it will damage your grandchildren, it will damage young Christians. A lot of them can't handle that, and so it's important for us to be strong and to be stable as churches. Church stability is vital. It's one of the principle and the first and one of the main principles concerning standing fast in the Lord. Amen. Now, I believe we're a blessed church, and we're probably more stable than a lot of churches, but instability in churches today is rampant. It really is. Churches are not stable like they should be. And we are blessed, but folks, listen to me. Let's not deceive ourselves, okay? Let's not go overboard about some of these things. We can be more stable as a church. Amen. We can do better. And, you know, we've not yet arrived. We need to, as he said in the previous chapters, to be pressing toward the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We simply are not there yet. Amen. To the fullness of the faith, that's where we're striving to be. And so he says, he names them, I beseech Eudeus, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, let me just pause and say this. He singles out these two women, and he says they need to get their act together. Okay, whatever personal conflict they have, they're both members of one body, and they need to resolve it. And many times when you have division in a church, and you have prominent leaders of that division, I'm preaching now, come on. When you have prominent leaders of that division, you'll also have people that they'll try to get on their side. You'll have those that they want siding with them. They want camaraderie concerning their personal vendettas or their personal division. And this isn't a doctrinal issue. If it was a doctrinal issue, if one of these ladies was right doctrinally and the other lady was wrong doctrinally, I assure you the Apostle Paul would have sided with the one who had the truth. This was a personal issue that needed to get resolved at the church of Philippi. They had this division. They needed to be one in the Lord. They needed to be of one mind and one accord. And this was critical to the stability, not just of them as a church, but the stability of them as an individual member of that church. What we do collectively affects us individually. Okay? I know this isn't real prevalent in the preaching today, but it's important, and it's very prevalent in Scripture. And so they needed, he says, he singles these two. Now imagine, okay, this is a Sunday morning, and the pastor of the church at Philippi is reading a letter from the Apostle Paul that is divinely inspired, sent specifically to their church, and he singles out two prominent members of that church, and Paul tells them to get their act together. I know, you're thankful that Paul never sent us a letter. Okay? You're thankful that we don't have divine inspiration today. Peter might have sent us a letter. Or James or John. All of them, listen, all of them epistles. All of those divinely inspired writers of the New Testament, all of them address the same issue about being stable in our lives. And this is an important part of our spiritual and Christian stability. Now, he singles them out and he says they need to be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, that's a phrase that's used repeatedly in this epistle, in the Lord. Okay, we may differ in our opinions, but we can be one in the Lord. Okay, we might differ about some things, how they're to be handled. We may have differences of opinion, but we know for the greater good, for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can be of one mind in the Lord. And so he puts emphasis on that. As I read down through here, I mean, he just puts great emphasis about in the Lord. You rejoice in the Lord. You notice that in verse 4. You can be one in the Lord. You can resolve issues in the Lord. Right? Amen. Christians must resolve personal issues in the Lord. Amen. The Lord is Lord, right? And he has demanded that of us. He has commanded that of us. Now, the command is given for, first of all, that we be stable. That's a command. It's not an option. It's not an opinion. It's not an idea. It's not a suggestion. This is an imperative verb, and we are to be stable. We are to be firm. We're to stand fast. We're to stand firm in the Lord. That's the command. Stand firm in the Lord. It's commanded of us. And then he says, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to get your church straightened out. They need to be in good harmony for people to get strong and stand fast in the Lord, be spiritually stable. And he says, you know, there's some people there that can help with that if they just would. You ever know any of those people? There's people there that can help with that if they just simply would man up. They could help with this situation. It's sad that we don't have a greater concern for church unity. There are times when people, rather than help, they hurt. Okay, instead of resolving the issue or help to resolve the issue, they create greater chaos. They feed the flame, so to speak. Add gas to the fire. And so he says, these two ladies need to come together in the Lord. They're affecting the church at Philippi. Their dissension is not good. And so they need to come together. And so he entreats some people to help with that. And he says in verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fella. I don't know who that is. Somebody once suggested that was Paul's wife. because he was yoked up with her. No, that's not his wife, okay? he says this true yoke fella, some people think that maybe it was that his name meant true yoked, and he was having reference, the Greek word is sosinacia, whatever it is, that he was talking about an individual, that this is an individual name, and it possibly could be. It could be an individual name. I didn't check the other translations. But whoever it was, the people there at Philippi knew who it was, and he entreated them to help. Help those women. Help those women. I mean, they've labored with me. Paul says they've labored with me in the gospel. They have aided in the advancement of the cause of Jesus Christ. And he says, with Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. These people are saved. They're in the book of life. They're going to heaven. And they're the redeemed. They're children of God. They've helped in advancing the cause of Jesus Christ in many ways. They need to get back together. This is important. So help with that. Help with that. And all of us should aid in the unity and harmony of our church. Amen. All of us. Every one of us should contribute to the harmony and the unity of our church. Each one of us individually need to make a contribution. Everybody say contribution. Not a financial contribution, but a spiritual contribution to the unity and to the harmony of our church. Why? Because it will affect people individually. It will affect you individually if you allow disunity and dissension to run rampant at your church. All right, I'm not going to get through all these principles, but I want to read them for you, because if you will simply study the first day of 2017, these 9 verses of this 4th chapter of Philippians, it will help you. It'll help you become more stable. Now, most people want to be part of a church that is stable. We don't want to be unstable, do we? None of us plan to fail, do we? No, we plan to succeed. We don't want to be worse Christians in 2017. I venture to say all of us want to be better Christians, don't we? We don't want to be weaker in faith. We want to be stronger in faith, don't we? I mean, that's the way it is. That's the way it is with me. I believe that's the way it is with you. But there's a great threat of instability upon our own lives and upon our church. And we need both in sync that we might have a strong relationship with the Lord. Then he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, like I said, I'm just going to read these. I don't have time to explain them. But this is another command. He commands that they rejoice. No, he doesn't just say rejoice. He says, you rejoice in the Lord. I mean, I couldn't very well say go around and rejoice. But all of us can rejoice in the Lord, can't we? I mean, he saved us. He redeemed us. We're on our way to heaven. We have the blessings of God upon our life. If anybody has a reason to rejoice, it's us. We're in the Lord. We know the Lord. We have fellowship with the Lord. He is with us. Praise God. We sense His Spirit and His power. And you know, no matter what comes our way, we can rejoice because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Rejoice in the Lord. Now that'll bring you together. Some good old-fashioned rejoicing in the Lord. Doesn't that help bring you together? Now, let me say, in lieu of what I said earlier, God's presence and His power in our lives, us glorifying the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord together as a people, man, that can bring more healing than anything else. I mean, being in sync spiritually, I mean, the Holy Ghost, a Holy Ghost service. Can you really be filled with the Holy Ghost and be angry at your brother at the same time? No, you cannot. I mean, can you be filled with the love of God that is in Christ Jesus and despise and have malice toward a brother or sister at the same time? No way. No way. We need to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, there's a lot of differences about the Lord is at hand. The word hand can have either reference to time or space. Now, I want you to stay with me. Say time or space. It's one or the other. He's either the Lord is nigh, present with us, or it's having reference to time when it's having reference to the Lord is at hand, alluding to His second coming. Right? Both are true, right? Okay. So we can rejoice in the Lord always. We let our moderation be known to all men because the Lord is near us. And He is near us, and He needs to be near us. He needs to be in us and working in us in a great way. And we also need to be focused on His second coming. Then He says, be careful for nothing. Here He talks about different anxieties and stresses. He talks about contentment. He talks about prayer, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, and let your requests be known, made known unto God. We need to start out with being thankful to God. And all these things will strengthen us and provide us greater degrees of stability. Rejoice in the Lord. Let our moderation be known to man. Acknowledging His presence in our life. Being not anxious for nothing. Not having anxiety. Being content. Trusting in the Lord. Believing in His providence. Praying with all prayer and supplication. And do that with thanksgiving. Get down on your face before God and be thankful. That'll help make you strong and stable in the Lord. It'll make you fast. It'll make you firm in the Lord. Wow, what a great passage of Scripture. What a fascinating and marvelous verse of Scripture. What a great chapter that we can study and see how to become more stable in the Lord. Isn't that your desire for 2017? Didn't you come to church this morning? Didn't you think about when you prayed the new year in? Didn't you think about, man, I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better servant. I want to be a better preacher. I mean, that's what I prayed. I want to be a better preacher. You know, I want to worship You more and do more for Your cause and have the capacity to do more for Your cause. Strengthen me, Lord, for that. Enable me, Lord, for that. Give me the health for that. Give me the wealth for that. Give me the strength to do those things that need to be done in the upcoming year in a better way, in a greater way. Wasn't that your prayer? I'm sure it was. I believe it was. That I would be a stronger Christian, that I'd commit my life to that. Now let me go back and say again, when we make those kinds of resolutions concerning the consecration of our lives unto the Lord, grace is promised. Grace is promised. I don't have time to go through all the passages, but I assure you, grace is promised. God will help you keep your vows. Oh, yes, He will. All right, let me at least read this. I hope that this will be these nine verses that contain principles for spiritual stability. That you will take these nine verses and they will become a monument for this year. A monument. A memorable monument. That you're going to begin this new year with these spiritual principles contained in these nine verses. That you might be more stable in the Lord. Now, you might say, preacher, why are you preaching on this? I think the Holy Spirit is leading me to preach this the first day of this year for a reason. I thought about this morning the last 20 years, and the first Sunday of the first of the year, I looked at those various sermons. I wish I had time to go through them. I don't this morning. Time's getting away from me. But they're pretty monumental. One of them was Christian Sabbath one year. First Sunday of the new year. The other one, another one was on backsliding. And I don't know, they just seem to always be important and monumental. They will aid us and help us. And I just said that because that's what our Sunday school lesson was. We have an article of faith, what Baptists believe, and one of those articles is the Christian Sabbath. It's one of our confessions of faith. This is what we believe as Baptists. But they're always monumental. Can we become more committed, more stable, more... Okay, let me use another word, all right? And I want you to get this word. I've got about 15 different C words in this sermon, if you'll catch them. This word's very important. It's the word consistent. Consistent. Did anybody make a resolution to be here every service, including Sunday school, for the year 2017? Every service. Unless you're on your deathbed or you're really, 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 really sick. You know. Not miss a service. To be in church. That's pretty in depth. Well, do you think it would help you become more stable? Here's the point. The commitment that we make is critical. You've got to commit to it. None of these things will happen unless we commit to it. That we're going to help one another with different personal issues that may develop in our church, that we're going to be committed to unity, that we're going to be committed to rejoicing in the Lord, that we're going to be committed to not letting anxiety overthrow us, take control of us. We're going to be committed to prayer and supplication. We're going to be committed to these things. It all starts, stability starts with personal commitment. Now, the Bible calls for that, cries out to us from Scripture to be more committed. Paul is doing that here with the church at Philippi. You know, I wonder, is it even possible for somebody to have perfect attendance next year? I guess probably the last one was Miss Veda. Oh, but she didn't have perfect attendance because she always missed conference. And she always told me why she didn't come to conference. She said, I can't hear a thing those people are saying. But other than conference, she was committed to be here. One of our oldest members. See, we don't want to stumble. We don't want to fall into false doctrine. We don't want to become a Christian that's in critical condition. We don't want to become one of those. And yet, the one thing necessary for us not becoming one of those requires a commitment. Are you with me? Well, I'm preaching this morning. I am. All right. Let's read the rest of these. Because something happens in the course of all this. The peace of God that passes all understanding. What does it do? It keeps our heart and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, Now, let me say that attitude is very important regarding stability. Okay? What you think, well, what is it the Bible says? What you think is what you become, basically. You know, as goes the mind, so goes the soul. You got to keep your mind centered on spiritual things as well as your heart. Okay? You put garbage in your mind, it'll seep into your soul. Amen? You don't put it in your mouth, do you? Maybe you do, I don't know. I guess we would if we had to, if we were hungry. The peace of God, it'll exist in our life. The passage understanding, it'll keep our hearts and minds. It'll guard our hearts and our minds. It'll protect our hearts and our minds. Our minds and our hearts will be guarded by the peace of God. Man, that's good. That's good. You need a guard for your heart and your mind. You need God's peace to guard your heart and your mind. If it's not there guarding your heart and your mind, the world, the devil, and the depravities of this world will overtake them. And that's why we have so many churches that are unstable. So many unstable souls. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. It shall be with you. All right, so we're going to start our stability as a Christian with commitment. Having all done to stand, we're going to what? We're going to stand. We're going to stand. We're commanded to do so. This standing firm, it's a military term. It's a military term. As a soldier, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Stand your post as a Christian. Paul said, as you have received Christ, live like you've received Christ. Walk in Him is the King James, but it means live like you're a Christian. Live like you're saved. Don't act like the world. We're commanded to do so. We must realize our connection with other Christian people. Now, it helps me to have accountability. It helps me to have inspiration and encouragement from other believers. You need that. You need that. We need that, don't we? We need that as Christians. We need the church. The church doesn't need you. You need the church. Okay? You just do. It helps you stay strong. It keeps you strong. People are there when those fall by the wayside or fall into sin. They come and encourage us, like it says in Galatians, and strengthen those that are weak. You know, lift them up, bear them up. I need your love in my life, and I need your help in my life. And we need that as a Christian. We need that Christian connection. Well, I'm going to close. I've got a bunch of cross references where the scriptures cry out for us to be strong in the Lord, to be firm, to stand fast, to stand firm. James said, a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all of his ways. All of his ways. We got to stand fast in the Lord. Many scriptures, I don't have time to go through them. I wish I did. Jude said, you can't stand fast unless God helps you. The only thing that will preserve you stable at the coming of the Lord is God. That's what Jude said. God will keep you. See, there's the promise. Okay? You commit to that and He will help you stand. He will keep you from falling. I think we all can do better. I don't think any of us want to be weak Christians, do we? I think all of us want to be strong in the Lord. I think all of us want to be faithful to the Lord. We don't want to be people that fall. We want to stand, right? We want to stand. Stand for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I thought about Paul in this particular verse. You know, he says, I love you. Oh, your beloved brethren and sisters, and I long for you, and I've got this great admiration for you. I love you. You're so precious. My brethren, my beloved. I mean, he just over and over again almost lays it on a little too thick in that first verse. All these positives. Then he says, stand fast. And I thought about this morning as I was meditating, and y'all probably didn't get up as early as I did, but as I was meditating, I think there's people that have gone before us that expect us to stand fast. They love us. They love us. And they want us to be strong. I know this, I love the next generation, and I want them to be strong in the Lord. You know, I want the church of tomorrow. I love these kids, but I want them to be strong in the Lord. I want them to be spiritually stable. There's a lot of chaos out there, and I want them to be stable in the things of God, doctrinally and spiritually. I want that. I love them, and I want that for them. And that's kind of how Paul felt. He had a pastor's heart. And I want that for you. And so as we sing a song, and we come into the altar, those that, I don't know, I haven't done this in a while, but this is for Christians to come to the altar and kind of commit ourselves to greater consistency in the work of the Lord. Amen? We just commit ourselves to greater consistency in the work of the Lord. You know, and do what we can. Do better. The Scriptures call us to that. This is not just something that the preacher's preaching or your pastor's preaching. The Bible calls us to that. And so let's, as we sing, this altar is open.